Hi, and welcome to Explain It To Me. This is a weekly podcast in which I, your host, Dr. Villacota, talk to you about a topic in neurology in 10 minutes or less. Today, we'll be talking about Bell's palsy. So what is Bell's palsy? Bell's palsy is the most common cause of temporary facial paralysis. It affects one side of the face or the other. It's named after Sir Charles Bell, who's a Scottish surgeon, and he's the one who first described this condition. Usually Bell's palsy strikes suddenly and it gets worse over a 12 to 24 hour period. It causes the muscles on one side of the face to droop or become stiff. Of course, it scares people because it can look like a stroke. Symptoms may range from mild to severe, but most people see their symptoms improve in a couple of weeks. One thing that separates Bell's palsy from strokes, and we'll talk about this a little later on, is Bell's palsy usually affects your whole face, including your eyelid. It also can affect your forehead because it involves the whole facial nerve, where strokes generally only affect your nasolabial fold or your lower face area. So patients with stroke will just have a facial droop, whereas patients with Bell's palsy, their whole face will droop. Of course, this is not something to play with. If you think you're having a stroke, definitely call 911. The doctors in the emergency room will figure out what's going on. And the reason I say that is because time is brain. Of course, we talked about this in the stroke episode. You want to make sure that if you are a candidate for the clot-busting medication, TPA or TNK, that you do receive it. So back to Bell's palsy, we know that we have 12 pairs of cranial nerves. I've made other podcast episodes about it. One of the cranial nerves is called a facial nerve. There are two of them. One supplies the right side and one supplies the left side of your face. It goes through the bony canal in your skull, kind of exits out, and then supply the face. If there's ever trauma to this facial nerve, compression, like if you're sleeping on it for too long, if there's a viral infection, like if you're someone with a history of cold sores, recent viral infection of any kind, upper respiratory infections can also affect this cranial nerve. That can cause that area to be inflamed or hurt, and that inflammation can compress it, leading to it not being able to supply the facial nerve. And that's why you have the clinical presentation of drooping of one side of the face. You can also have some loss of taste because your facial nerve does help a little bit with that. And so I think it's very important to remember that those are some of the causes of Bell's palsy. So in terms of symptoms, we already talked about them a little bit. You're going to have muscle twitching, weakness or paralysis. You're going to have absence of forehead wrinkling, drooping of the eyelid, inability to close the eye completely, excessive tearing in one eye. You can have dry eye, some impaired speech, dry mouth, ringing in one ear, the affected ear, usually on the affected side. Have headache and also dizziness. Causes of Bell's palsy, like we talked about, can be infectious due to nerve compression. If you are someone with an autoimmune infection, that can sometimes affect the nerve, the facial nerve as well. And some of the viruses, I know we already talked about cold sores as in HSV, but also Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr virus, the HIV virus, sarcoidosis, the varicella virus, those can all affect the facial nerve. So who's at risk for Bell's palsy? People who are immunocompromised can be, and surprisingly, you know, when we think of immunocompromised patients, we think of patients who are on chemo or have HIV, but also pregnant women, patients with diabetes, all of those. And if you're a young person whose immune system hasn't fully developed yet and you get viral infections, you can see this in this case as well. Luckily, after the diagnosis, the treatment is fairly straightforward. Bell's palsy is something we can treat. Of course, you can have residual symptoms of it. There are patients who've had Bell's palsy when they're younger, and as you get older, they still have a little bit of trouble moving that side of their face. It all really depends on how well you heal, how well you catch it, or catch that something is wrong, and how well or how quickly it's treated and how aggressively it's treated. Usually, treatment is with a steroid medication. We use some prednisone for about a week, sometimes a little longer, and we combine it with antiviral medication as well, usually Valtrex or acyclovir. And it's used with the steroids for about a week. One thing to take note of is, in addition to the treatment, you also should be taking care of your eye. Because you're having trouble closing that eye, you want to make sure you're using a barrier to be able to keep it wrapped or to keep it closed. And the reason I'm saying this is I've seen a lot of patients who don't do that, and then you have corneal abrasions, inflammation, because this doesn't only make it hard for you to close your eye, it also dries up your eye. So that's a whole other issue that's going to happen if you don't take care of it. Also, oral care, because you're going to have trouble closing your mouth. Make sure that you are applying barrier protection to your lips and skin to prevent yourself from, drool or dryness of the mouth. And good oral hygiene around this time is also important. Very few people will go to this, but some doctors will suggest surgical decompression if over 90% of your facial nerve function is lost. So if you're taking medications, things still aren't getting better, there might be a way to decompress that area to provide relief and get some of that nerve get some of that nerve activity back. Again, this is not something that is offered routinely because most people with Bell's palsy are, people who recover completely. I think only about 15% or so have partial recovery, but of course, it is possible to have partial recovery. And that is essentially Bell's palsy in a nutshell. It can look very scary. It can cause many problems, obviously, if you're not moving one side of your face, but it is something that's treatable. And the quicker you catch it and the quicker it's treated, the more aggressively it's treated. People generally do fairly well. So I hope that was helpful. Please let me know if you have any other questions. Otherwise, we will end this here and I will see you next week. Thank you for listening.